Chuck and Amber, do you covenant with God to raise John in the fear and admonition of the Lord?
I do.
I do.
You did well. All right. I'm going to ask the same of Andrew and Bethany, not for John, but for Ava. Do you guys covenant to raise Ava in the fear and admonition of the Lord?
We do.
We don't have one squawking yet. We'll get there. Yeah. Got one wanting to leave, but all right. Derek and Rochelle, do you covenant to raise Gavin? Gavin, you're excited about this, aren't you, bud? I'll get on this side. Do you covenant to raise Gavin in the fear and admonition of the Lord?
We do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Joe and Shelby, we praise God, and we praise God for each of you guys, everyone, and we're thankful. But today we're moving on here with Joe and Shelby, and they've got a quiver full or close. And for Connor, Azariah, and Benjamin, we ask, do you covenant to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord? And Jaden, who isn't here as well?
I do.
Okay. All right. So that brings us to the Britons, Alan and Susie and Hannah. And I want to ask Alan and Susie if you guys covenant to raise Hannah in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
We do.
Okay. And Hannah, I'm going to ask you if that's okay. Would you like to grow up and having someone lead you to Christ and be in church? That'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to get pictures, but first we'll ask Pastor Wes to come on up and to pray for these wonderful people.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today so grateful for the privilege that it is to know you and to have this privilege of what it means to be a parent. I pray for each one that's up here with me today that you would guide them. Give them your grace, give them your strength and your wisdom as they would move forward from here. I thank you for Psalm 127, verse 3, which says that children are a gift from you, and we recognize that today. We thank you for it. We pray for these families, that you would guide and protect them, and for each one of these little ones up here, that they might grow up, that they might come to know you, and for that we will give you praise. In your name we pray, amen.
Can you guys all slide this way, on this side, without falling off the stage? Somebody's probably going to have to, just a little more. All right, let's give them a hand. We're for you guys. Those in junior church can be dismissed. I need to mention two things before we go further. One is next Sunday. We would like it 2:30. Let me tell you what's going on there. But our VBS this summer, we always have a project children give to. And this year it was Bibles. And we want to give those out in our community, specifically to Hannaville. I think we have, like, I'm saying 50 or 60 Bibles. Is that right, Becky? Somewhere in there. And with those, we want to give those Bibles out. We also want to give out information concerning our church, youth group, on all that we offer, and hopefully get in a conversation with them about a relationship with Christ. Next Sunday at 2:30 in the afternoon, If you're interested, we would like to have you come, be part of a team that would go out, and that means you might have to set aside your Lions game or your Packers game, or I don't know if there are any other teams out there, but you might have to set that aside and come. We want to meet about 2:30. We'll pray and give you just some instruction as we go. So would want that you would remember that you would come and be a part of that. Two, I want to mention to you just in as far as prayer, Joe and Julie Teal. Joe's mom passed last night. He's lost both parents in less than a month here, and been a difficult stretch for him. So if you'd remember him, that would be great. If you've not yet signed up for a discipleship group, we'd love to have you in one. And it would be, let me say this, it would be a blessing to you. It really would. So make sure you do that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Stepping away from David's life for a week, and we're going to just talk about passing it on today, passing truth on to the next generation. Goes along with what's been part of our service this morning, dedicating those young ones to the Lord. Psalm 78, and we will look at those first 8 verses. I'd like to read that, then we will pray and get into the text. Psalm 78, verse 1, listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to come before you in this moment, this time. We're thankful to be a part of a service this morning in which we could lift our voices in praise and adoration to you. We can give, we can interact with others. Father, I thank you for each one that's come into this building today. Thank you that you have given us this moment in time to consider our lives, to consider what it is to serve you, love you, live for you. And Father, we don't come with everything together. That's why we come together, is to see you, to hear your word, to be encouraged, to be challenged. Father, I think of these folks that were just up here saying, look, we're going to dedicate ourselves, we're going to covenant with you to live for you, to instruct these young ones, this young one, in the ways of the Lord. I lift them before you. Father, they need your help. No parent does it right all the time. We need your word. There are moments when we must seek your forgiveness and we must admit that, hey, that wasn't the best approach, and on we go. Thank you that we can do just that. We can always start anew. Today, we can start brand new with you. Thank you for that. Thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father, and you stand at the end of the road for rebels, with your arms wide open, ready to take them in. Thank you. There's nothing that happens to us today that hasn't passed through your loving care and your knowledge. And thank you that you have given us the way that we ought to go. You've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may have life and life more abundant. Father, in these days, our society has a great impact on the body of Christ. And so it is that we must always have your word before us to help us through those times. And I pray that we would be sold out to the Scriptures, to your revelation, and really believe that this is the very best, that the very best way we can go is to follow you, to honor your word in obedience. Oh, Father, that I might proclaim as I should, and we both might respond in a way that's appropriate. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 78, this scripture that is before us, it's really a history lesson. It's, you could say, a history book of God and his people, just a paragraph or so. In this psalm, there's a retelling of the acts of God and the acts of those who followed him. God's work among them is absolutely awe-inspiring. That's recorded for us in this psalm. Take, for example, just look at verse 23. I'm not going to actually preach these verses, but just so you get a feel of it. Verse 23, he commanded clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them. And this is speaking of the Exodus. This is what God did. He rained manna down for them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. That's what he did for that over 2 million people wandering in the wilderness. Amazing. Verse 20, behold, he struck the rocks, that waters gushed out, streams were overflowing. That's what he did as well. He fed them. He gave them fresh water. That's what God did. Look at verse 53. He led them safely so that they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemies back to the Red Sea. God opened that Red Sea up. God's people passed through. The enemies, however, were destroyed. That's amazing. So it's in this psalm, that's really where it's just retelling a history of God's dealing with his people. And the actions of God's people in this psalm are telling the story as well. So we see the story of God, and there's more I can get into it in this psalm, that he's powerful, he's gracious, he's merciful, he cares for his people, he's awe-inspiring. There's no one like him. You also see in this story his people. And we see something about them. Verse 11, they forgot his deeds and his miracles that he had shown them. They forgot. It's how quickly we forget. But they did that. They forgot that. Verse 17, they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. That's part of the story that's in this psalm of God's people. Not all, but some of them, that's where God found them. Verse 40, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness, grieved him in the desert. That was part of their story as well with God. They rebelled, they grieved his heart. Verse 42, they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the adversary. Just kind of set that aside. They forgot that. They didn't remember. They set it aside. Verse 56, yet they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies. That's part of the story. All of us here this morning can look back at our history with God and how he's interacted with us in our lives, how we've responded to him. We are, though, this morning living in the present. We have a history. We have a past with our God. We are living in the present. And in this moment that our lives are living out, and we're living them out as to what we deem as most precious and that which is most important and critical to us. That's what we're doing in the present. You could look at your life today and whatever you're living, whatever you're thinking, however you're conducting yourself, and you would have to agree that this is what I find to be most pressing. We have a future as well, not just the present. We have a future as well, and what we're living out today is shaping that, our past, our present. How we live today shapes the future. And as parents, as those who may one day be entrusted with instructing someone, and that, by the way, I believe is all of us, even if we weren't granted children, but we have those in our lives who are close to us, who we have opportunity to influence, but it is our privilege. It is our privilege to proclaim the name of the Lord and his mighty deeds to this generation. That's our privilege. It's a great, great privilege. This psalm, the history of God's people, is placed before us. The first thing we see here is, if you'll look with me, in verses 1 through 3, we'll see this. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. The preface to what the author is about to embark on is found in verses 1 through 8. That really, from there, you kind of get the rest of the psalm. It flows from there into a history of God's dealing with Israel. You have the Exodus, verses 9 through 41, verse 42 to 52, contain God's bringing them out of Egypt, his bondage, his power. Then the end of the psalm, again, is the nation of Israel and God's dealing with them, culminating with King David ruling. But our focus this hour will be on these first 8 verses and what they teach concerning the responsibility that we have as people, especially parents, grandparents, in the past, present, and future. They had a responsibility. In verses 1 through 3, you see that we have heard and known, verse 3, our fathers have told us. Why did they do that? They did that because they had a responsibility. And this responsibility, it's you don't have to read far into the scripture. You get into God choosing Abraham, calls him out from a pagan nation and family. And this is what he says about Abraham: I have chosen him so that he may command who? His children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so the Lord may bring upon him, upon Abraham, what has been spoken of him. But here's what God says about Abraham. Listen, I want you, this is why I've chosen him. I've brought him to myself so that he might make my name known to his family, to his culture, to those around him. That's why God, one of the reasons God chose Abraham. Further instruction from Moses: give heed, this is Deuteronomy 4:9, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. And this really has to do with the heart of those who are to instruct. Our relationship with God is the key. Parents, you were those that were up here, as you strive to live for the Lord and to instruct your children, grandchildren, here it's your relationship with the Lord that is key. Always, always, always. Keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. This is the call of God to his people. I'll get into this verse a little deeper later on, but in the New Testament, Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That is what they had as far as their responsibility. God's people, they were to declare him. It starts with our hearts to remember and to have it before those who we have been entrusted with. And you'll notice verse 3, there were those who were obedient to it. The psalmist could say, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. It has been passed on. They were obedient to us, to it. Our fathers have told us. Well, what a blessing for this psalmist to be able to say there were those who knew God, who were faithful to pass on this revelation of himself to us. What did they tell them? You can read the rest of that in the psalm. I believe that's some of what they told them. Certainly they could say that God loved them, that he redeemed them, that he moved in their lives in miraculous ways. He was interested in them as a person, not just a nation. And our God, this God that we're proclaiming to you, he forgives sin. He's gracious and merciful. You can't read the rest of this psalm without coming to that conclusion. God is just that. That was passed on to them. There were those who were obedient in their day to do what God had instructed them to do. We need to be those people. We need to be that remnant. In every generation, there are those who have been chosen to declare to the next generation the Word of God. I want you to think for a moment. Consider this. Every one of us here have been the recipients of someone who took this responsibility seriously and passed truth on to us. I have to tell you, one of the greatest privileges I've ever had is growing up in a Christian family with a mom and dad who took this calling seriously. They didn't do it perfectly. All the parents who were up here, you won't do it perfectly. All of us have great need. None of us have it all together all the time. And you're going to fail at times. And you're ministering to ones that desperately need it because they are sinners. My folks, I've told you this before, one of the things they didn't have to teach me is to do wrong. Never had to instruct me in that. I was really good at that. They were working the other way. This is who God is. He loves you. I can tell you he loves you because he sent his son to stand in your place for your sin. And you're a sinner. And you need a savior. And there's heaven to gain. And hell to shun. And I had the privilege, as soon as I could speak the English language, to hear words of truth, his message, his revelation. But someone took it serious in my life, and someone took it serious in your life to pass on the truth of the Word of God. I mentioned my privilege. I don't know what yours looked like. May not have been in a family like that. May not have even have been in a setting that was right. And by the way, I want to say to each of you, you may look back on your life and say, you know, this is the setting I grew up in, and this is how Christ was presented. And it really was far, far, far away from what it ought to have been. And so, here I am with this. What do? I say to you, you be the one to do it right. You be the one to stand firm. You be the one to be gracious and loving. You be the one to present Christ rightly to those who are around you. It can start with you. It starts with somebody. I can go back into my family history and say, here's where it started. So you be the one. By God's grace, you can. You can declare Him. But they were obedient to it. The psalmist could say, we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. May it be that those God has entrusted with us could say the same thing. Wouldn't it be sweet? But see, there's a past, there's a present, there's a future yet to come. And I've thought about this. Someday I'm going to step out from this world. And people will look back, and I have family members that will look at my life. And what will they see? It's not really about I hope they think rightly or think good of me. No, I hope that God has worked in me in such a way that they say, there's a great God. I saw some of this in His life. There's a great Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know one thing about Him? He remembered Christ. He's risen. That's something that we sure ought to be passing along to those God has entrusted us with. So there's the past. There's the present. Look at verses 4 and 5. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. Here's the present. There's this recognition of God's will. The psalmist is acknowledging that, you know what? We've got a responsibility here. He says, we will not conceal them from their children. We're going to move forward with God. We see this. This is His will. God has made known to our forefathers. They passed it on to us. We must speak the same. Their fathers were not silent in telling them of the wonders and the awe of their great God. And we are negligent when we do not carry out the privilege that we have to speak to those He has entrusted to us of our great God and what He's done. There's some thinking out there today. There's some thinking out there today that has been going on for a while. I heard it years ago. It is still very popular. This thinking has impacted, I believe, some parents who are believers, and it's impacted on how they raise their children, how they think about doing that. And this thinking is this. I'm going to let my kids decide about Christianity. I'll let my grandkids decide about Christianity. Those God have trusted to me, I'll let them decide about Christianity, about Christ, about God, about Scripture, rather than teaching them about it. See, this thinking, it assumes that one can take a neutral position on teaching one's child about the Lord. I'll say to you, there's no such thing as a neutral position when it comes to the things of God. There's no neutral position in instructing a child in the ways of the Lord. If a person takes that, they're giving an assessment about God, whether they speak it out loud or not. By the way, I need to mention to all of us as well, it's one thing to speak rightly, and we should, but what we do teaches. What we do teaches. That really carries the weight. So, anyway, we're giving an assessment. If we take that, we're giving an assessment to this individual about what we think about God. We're really saying He doesn't rise to the level of the attention that we should even consider Him. These same parents, however, will not allow their children to decide on issues with less eternal consequences, like bedtime, morality, being kind, going to school, getting an education. I've never had a parent say or heard one say, I don't want to force my beliefs on my child, whether they need an education, whether they need to learn to read or write. I'll rather just simply let them decide on their own. Boy, I'll tell you, if I'd have been given that one, man, I'll tell you, I had taken a different approach. The hardest thing for me, sitting in a classroom hour after hour after hour. Nothing against teachers. You guys are great. I had good teachers, but man, that's tough when you're a young lad. But if I get given a choice, I'm gonna make my exit soon. None of them do that. If you've taken that position, it may, you know, at first blush, that's really appealing. It may sound appealing and intelligent. It might meet with the applause of our culture, but it is a facade. More than that, however, it is in complete and full disobedience of what God calls us to. Can we agree that He really knows what's best for us, that He knows us best, that He is God, and that we need to, you know, the best path for us to take is to follow His instruction? Scripture reaches right into our lives today. And I want to say to you, if you read this psalm and you get the flavor of it, you're going to discover that the nations around God's people had a powerful impact on their thinking and on their actions. Those nations were infiltrating the homes of God's people, and their convictions became that of God's people. Some of God's people fell for their teaching. They worshipped other gods. They had idols. They lived like those pagan nations did. Some of God's children walked away from Him and passed on a godless heritage to their families, and that kept rolling. Some of them were rebellious and disobedient. That was their legacy. That is why their fathers, their parents needed to have the truth of God's Word and His desire for them before them all the time. Really good scripture for us here as well. Deuteronomy 11, 19 and 20. This is what, friends, again, God calls us to. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them, speaking about God's ways. When you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, you take every occasion to bring God into it. That's what you do. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I love it when we have those that have the scriptures in their homes. Some of you have that. Isn't it sweet to just be reminded again and again and again? But this is our job. This is what God calls us to. So it's really more than just teaching at a specific time. You see how this is? Talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down. We had a privilege to sit down with as grandparents with grandchildren at a meal the other night, and well, I was gonna do this, you know. So I said to our oldest granddaughter, where the meal's finishing up, I said, "How did we get here? How did we get here? You know, I'm wanting her to think about God and His creation." She's thinking. You came in the car. I missed that one big time, didn't I? Well, we give it a shot, right? It's whenever you have opportunity. We want to bring the Lord into it. And speak of the glory. Tell them about what God's done in your life. By the way, that's good for us too, isn't it, to remember that? You know, here's where God met me. Here's how He's led me. Here's what He did last week. Today, I prayed, He answered. They need to hear that. They need to hear that. It's such a blessing. So the Spirit of God spoke to these people we're talking about in the past. But He speaks to us today because we are desperate for this. There's nothing new under the sun. Those pagan nations, God warned Israel about that. Be careful, be careful. Don't go there, don't go there. And they did, and it became a train wreck in faith for many of them. We don't have that problem today, right? Our culture's not impacting the church or God's people, the newscast, Hollywood. That doesn't make any difference. It sure does. It sure does. That's why we need the Word of God before us, before them, to keep it in the forefront. But it's a responsibility to God's will. Notice verse 5. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. What was that law? You shall teach them diligently. You need to teach. You need to instruct. You need to keep me before them. You know, again, here it is. When you walk, there it is. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You have God's word right there, frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Keep my word before them. Why? Because everything in life comes at it, you know. Today can be my most important thing. You know, life can just take me. Today I got to figure out how am I going to get my boat ready to go fishing. And then I catch those fish, fillet them, get home. 11 o'clock snack is going to be bluegill. Our minds can just go here and there, and everything else becomes more important. So he's saying, keep my word before them. God's people, for the most part, were eaten alive and reduced in their influence for God because they failed to remember him. And I will say to you, the church in America today is right here. It's right here. Everything else has come in. Everything else is more important. And we're struggling because of that. Finally, we've talked about the past a bit. There it was. Here's the present. It begins, I like what it says there in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, don't provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We are to teach, provoking to anger here. Or wrath has the idea of intentionally doing something to discourage, to irritate a child. It's used one's authority in a way that brings about resentment from the child. And men can do that. Fathers can do that. Grandfathers can do that. Moms can do that. Grandmothers can do that. Be careful. That's not what this is about. We want to help them to see Christ in a light that's beautiful and good. But men, it starts with you. You are the spiritual leader of this home. This has to be in the forefront. It has to be something that's really, really important. You don't have to do it all, but your family should be focused in that way of learning about God. And by the way, your walk will teach more than your words. Moms, your walk will teach more than your words. Grandmas, grandpas, that's true. And, you know, none of us want to put on a front and say, man, grandpa's got it all together all the time. Dad's got it all together all the time. No. Sometimes the best we can do is say, yeah, that action there was wrong. It wasn't good. It was sinful. I need your forgiveness. Dad wasn't doing according to what he ought to do. That's powerful, by the way, in the life of a young person. It's just powerful. They know you better than you know you, probably. And for you and I to admit that, hey, you know, there are times I just haven't done it right or I'm not doing it right. This needs to be looked at. That might be one of the most powerful lessons your child sees from you. But it's responsibility to God's will in the present. Why? Well, let's look forward here in verses 6 through 8. That the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, not be like their fathers, stubborn, rebellious generation. Now he's looking at this generation he's been speaking of here, that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. I hope that's not written of our lives. But see, our conduct today impacts the future. The way we live here and now has an impact on what the future looks like. Why should they know? Verses 6 and 7 tell us that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born. Do you realize in America today, there's been a great shift from knowledge. I'm not speaking of simply, I'm speaking our culture, from knowledge of the Word of God to what it was 20, 40, 60 years ago. Years ago, those that, I'm going to say in their 70s and 80s now, when they went to school, you would learn Psalm 23. You would pray. You'd know about the Scripture and so forth. That was part of the curriculum. Now, when we have Awana on Wednesday nights, we have to say to a child, what do you know about the Bible? I've never read the Bible. I don't have a Bible. I remember this struck me. I was watching an old Billy Graham crusade. Billy Graham gets up to preach. This was in Los Angeles, probably 40 years ago. And he's up there with his Bible, and he tells this group, turn in your Bible to whatever. And you look out across this audience, believers, unbelievers, and you know what they're doing? They got Bibles with them, and they're turning to the Scripture. They knew something of God. They had a fear, a reverence of God in some way. This culture now has shifted way past that. Why? Why? Because we haven't told them. Because along the line, there's been a breakdown of the family. There's been a breakdown of the view of God. And we've just kind of stepped aside. And we've taken, the thought that, well, whatever happens, happens. No, we have a response, but we need to be proactive here. And he's saying, in the present, it's going to make a difference in the future. So this isn't about just this moment. It's not just about today. It's about the future that other generations might know. You know, my children and their children and their children, I hope all look to the Lord. I hope they all have a reverence and a knowledge of the Word of God. But I have a place in that. You have a place in that to who God has entrusted you with. The future generation needs to know. They need to have a reverence for Him. They need to see us loving and serving Him. They need to see that we reverence Him, that He is really important. They need a relationship with their Creator through faith in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. They need to know that they can put their confidence in God. I love verse 7. Son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, listen, you can trust God. Verse 7, that they should put their confidence in God, not forget the works of God. And then I'd say verse 8, it's just a possibility for each of us. We could be stubborn and rebellious. That can really mark our life. But the future, why they should know, it's for the generation to come. How then should they live? Well, that's in verse 8. This is the question. For the generation the psalmist lived with, how did they do? Well, they didn't do so well. Stubborn, rebellious. The lesson that is revealed in the occasion of the retelling of the history of God's people is this. There is a possibility for blessing, and there is a possibility for a shipwreck. Those two things are there. In verse 8, you see it. Not be like their fathers, stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. There's some things in our generation, I believe, that are going to span time, and people are going to ask at some point, what were we doing? What were we doing? I believe the abortion situation is one of those things. I hope a future generation says at some point, because it's done with, what were they thinking? Where was the church here? There are other things as well. How should they live? The retelling of this tells us there's possibilities. Have you ever wondered what will be said of this generation, of my generation, of you? In every generation, I need to say this, there are those who are on fire for the Lord. One of the things that I try to keep before me in this generation and the younger generation is there are still young men, young women, young families, young couples that are living their life in the midst of this darkness for the glory of the Lord. And I praise God for those people. There will be those people until Christ comes, because when He comes for the church, His bride is here. When He comes for the church, there are those that are going to be loving and serving Him, because He comes to get His bride, and He's not going to go back empty-handed. There are those. You and I need to be those. It may not be popular. People may think you're a little off your rocker. I hope they do, because you're on fire for Christ. But there are those in every generation that are like that. Grandpa, grandma, you stay strong for Christ. I have to tell you, with my grandfathers and my grandmothers, you might say, I just don't know if I really... No, you make a big impact on how you live. And for me, in my life, those grandpas, those grandmas made a big impact on me. So, listen, you might say I'm over the hill. Is there anything for me to do? You may think you're over the hill, but until you're under the hill, you still have something to do for the Lord. And that is to make an impact, to be an influence for the glory of the Lord. And boy, do we need His grace for this, do we not? It is a battle. It is a battle, battle, battle. But boy, it's one that God wants us to engage in. These folks, they made, and there are those that the psalmist could say, we've heard it. Our fathers told us. We want to pass this on for the next generation to the glory of the Lord. I love how that speaks here in Psalm 79:13. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. You know we're going to do this in heaven, right? We'll be praising the Lord. Every generation ever born on earth will be there. Why not now? You know, what about the generation we're a part of? You have been placed within that to make a difference. I want to finish with this. You are a chosen race, 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, believers, God's people. That's who we are, a people for God's own possession. We are His. Why? What's all this about? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He saved you. He made you His own to proclaim. All of us are going to do it different, but we must do it in some way. There's your assignment this week. Proclaim to those around you. You might say, hey, I'm not a dad yet. I'm not married yet. I'm not a parent. You are building today what tomorrow is going to look like from that place right now, and you proclaim, you live for Him. You and I are leaving a legacy. May ours be that we were faithful to proclaim Him. Let's pray. Loving Father, oh, we get sidetracked so easily. I do. There are things that come in my life. They're just so important at that moment. Let us see the big picture. Here it is. It's to proclaim your excellencies. It's to pass on to those around me that here's someone that knows God, that loves Him, that lives for Him. Father, may we be those people. Grow us in that. Keep this before us. Father, for those couples that were before us and said, this child I recognize as a stewardship from you, and I want to instruct this one to live in the fear of the Lord. I want to teach them, bless them, work in them, keep this before them. Everyone here, may this be what marks our generation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me get to the back and you're dismissed.